Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be in the house of God. Beautiful morning this morning. Woke up early, actually, earlier than normal for some reason. And it's just a beautiful morning, a Lord's Day morning. Were we excited to wake up this morning? We get to go to God's house to worship again as a body of believers. How did we feel? Or did we think, oh, this is Sunday, I can sleep in a little longer. Wow, this is great. Just something to think about. Also appreciated the Brother Gerald's devotional on God's will for our life. And a statement that he made, seek God's plan instead of asking God to bless my plan. Sometimes that's a challenge. We've got an agenda that we think that we need to, this is what we need to do, and we ask God to bless that, as he mentioned. But sometimes our plan is not the way that God wanted us to go. Sometimes he gives us some other direction to go. So we need to seek God's plan, God's will for our life. So I appreciated that. This morning I'd like to talk about running. Last Sunday, or 2 weeks ago, Brother Michael Mast, I wasn't here, but I listened to the message later, and he talked about fighting the good fight. And God gave us everything that we need to fight that we're in. And today I'd like to talk about running the race. I used to like to run. I don't do a whole lot anymore. But it was just when I was in school growing, even in my younger teen years, I just loved to run. Loved to run through the woods and around trees and just run. It was just a joy to be running. But that has passed. But anyhow, in the first verse there in Hebrews, the first couple verses, maybe we'll read those then. But for right now, I'd like for us, imagination they say that's the biggest nation in the world, imagination. So I'd like for you to imagine with me for a little bit. Imagine a group of people coming to your home, maybe interrupting your coffee and donut break, or maybe your movie watching, or maybe your time on Facebook, whatever. They're interrupting that, but they have got an urgent message for you. And they start out with good news. They said, we are from the United States Olympic Committee, and we have been looking for someone to run a marathon in the Olympics, and we have the statistics on everyone in the U.S. and the whole nation, and we have determined out of over 300 some million people that you are the person that has been selected to run in this marathon. You are the one that is going to run and bring home the gold for this marathon. So you are chosen. You are on the team. You are in the race. Now, possibly you are surprised because the furthest you have run for a while is between the recliner and the refrigerator. And the one time when you had a running program, you ran to the road and were so exhausted by the time you got to the road that you barely made it back in time to drag yourself into your recliner. But after the shock of being selected, once that settles in, you are gripped with a realization of what is happening in your life. You picture yourself mingling with the elite athletes of the world. You allow yourself to imagine maybe you do have what it takes to run this race. At night, you even dream about standing at the podium to receive that gold medal after the race. You begin to feel a rush of emotion. You say to yourself, this is the race that I was created to run. This is my destiny. This is why I was born. The race becomes the passion of your life. It dominates your mind. It occupies every waking moment. And to run this race well, and to win it if you can, becomes a central focus of your existence. It is what gets you out of bed in the morning. It's what you live for. Can you imagine that? This is just really something. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you run a race. It too is a race of a lifetime. It too should dominate your mind. It too occupies your waking moments, and it becomes a central focus of your existence. It's what you live for. The writer of Hebrews here talks about that. Let's just go ahead and read these first two verses here. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Running this race. And he starts out there with wherefore. Wherefore. And that means that we probably should look before what he was talking about. And chapter 11, what do we call chapter 11? Can someone tell me? Maybe. Can someone say something? What do we call chapter 11? The faith chapter. Yeah. The examples of faith. The Hebrew writer here goes through a lot of examples of faith. And let's just read from verse 32 all the way to the end there. Because there's many examples that he gives, and then he starts in with verse 32 here and says, what shall I say more? What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had the trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, more of bonds and imprisonment. And they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Then he says, wherefore? In other words, because of all these examples around us of faith, they have shown us how to run this race through faith, laying aside all of this weight, every weight, and the sin, everything that would hinder us internally and externally, anything that would hinder us from running this race. And he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I believe we could put in there endurance, that we can run with endurance this race that is before us. But we've had many, many examples there in the faith chapter. It might be good for us to really do a good study on the faith chapter. I've got 7 points here that I'd like to go over. Anyhow, 7 points. Number one, you have been chosen for this race. In this race, like the Olympic race that we imagined, you have been chosen to run in this race. This time, however, the Olympic Committee is not selecting. It is God Almighty that has selected. You know, the thrill of having the Olympic Committee of the United States come and knocking at your door, you know, that would be sort of that'd be quite a thrill for us to experience that. Even though today we had in our Sunday school lesson not to show partiality, not to honor one above another. But that would be sort of a special thing, have the Olympic Committee come and invite us to be on this team. But you know, imagine God, the God of the universe, knocking at the door of your heart, inviting you to be on his team, to run on his team, God's team. And of course, for those of us that have believed and trusted in Jesus Christ, God has already done that. He has invited us to be on his team, and we are on his team. Number two, the race is both a contest and a conflict. And this is no ordinary race. The Greek word for race is agon, for which we get the word agony. And the race is a contest in a daily progress toward Christ's likeness. And in many respects, we do not race against opponents in this race. We are more apt to race against ourselves. In other words, are you more like Jesus today than you were yesterday? Are we making any progress? And the race is a conflict in that there is an internal struggle of the soul. Our natural bent is toward sinfulness, towards laziness, all the bad things. So are we engaged in the necessary disciplines and activities that will enable us to grow and mature in Christ's likeness? Number three, the race is unique to you. It has been marked out especially for each one of us, each one. Just as those cones, the traffic cones, lay out the race for a marathon, for a long-distance race, God has marked a race that is distinctive for each one of us. And while the destination is the same for all of us, the race, the journey, is different for everyone. We don't all run exactly the same. Our journey is a little different. So don't compare your track with someone else's track too closely, because we also know the scripture says they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. We need to run and keep our eye on the goal. And number four, the race has no timeouts. Like the marathon run, this race has no timeouts. There's no breaks. There's no half times. We are instructed to run and to keep on running. Number five, the race is full of obstacles. Unlike the marathon, it's more like a steeplechase. This race is full of obstacles, barriers, hurdles, and hazards. They can't be avoided or erased, and they come at different sizes and at different stages. And number six, you run to win this race. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." Winning is not beating the other runners. The prize is becoming a spiritual champion. And a spiritual champion is one that is sold out to Jesus Christ, straining to become more like him every day. And the finish line of faith is a line that is more Christian today than it was yesterday. We become more and more like Christ. And number seven, winning the race will require great endurance. Winning the race will require great endurance, preservation, patience, and resolve. Victory necessitates that we run with undying persistence and steadfast endurance until we arrive at the finish line victorious. So back to our imagination of the U.S. Olympic Committee's invitation there. It might dawn on you that you cannot run in a marathon the way you are right now. You can't do that. More to the point, you can't run in a marathon even if you tried really, really hard. If you were serious about seizing the goal and standing on the winner's platform, you have to enter into a lifetime of training. You must arrange your life around certain practices that will enable you to do what you cannot do now by willpower alone. Does anyone have any idea how much time Olympians, people that train for the Olympics, how much time they spend training? Anyone have any idea? A couple of months, year? The average Olympian trains for 4 hours every day for 310 days a year. 4 hours a day for 310 days a year. For about 6 years before succeeding. And that translates into more than 7,000 hours of a training for an event that will last just a short time. I mean, sometimes some of the sprints and stuff are less than a minute. The need for training is not only for the athletes, but it's required for playing a musical instrument or learning a new language, some other new skill. And it is, in fact, mandatory for any significant challenge in life. And that includes becoming a spiritual champion. It takes training, training. The single most important principle of running the race toward becoming a spiritual champion is the spiritual transformation is not a matter of trying harder, but training wisely. The Apostle Paul encouraged his young protege, Timothy, to exercise thyself rather unto godliness. This thought lies also behind Paul's advice to the church at Corinth. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Are we temperate in all things? Are there some things that we haven't laid aside yet? Is there some weight that is holding us down? Something that's keeping us back? Or have we laid it all out? Are we, in through God's grace, in control of what we allow and what we don't allow in our lives? When it comes to running the marathon or becoming a spiritual champion, the need is not to try harder, but to train wisely. How many times have you heard a sermon or listened to a Bible study or read a book about following Jesus and you said to yourself, I've got to try harder to be a better Christian. I've just got to try better, do my best. And that would sort of be like me saying that I want to try really hard to compete in a triathlon. Now, if you know anything about a triathlon, you know I don't fit very well in that. So if I want to run in a triathlon, I need to train for a triathlon. That's what I need to train for. And that would be possible, even in my condition. I think I could possibly, if I do the right disciplines and things, I could probably at least start. But anyway, to train is, we can't just try harder to be a better person. We have to allow God to work through us, and through the training we can become a better person. We arrange our life around certain disciplines that will help us to gain power and strength to become more like Jesus every day. To live a life as Jesus taught and modeled. The activities of prayer, Bible study, worship, service, evangelism, and stewardship are some of the needed disciplines that we need to have when running this spiritual race. In prayer, how often are you talking with the Father each day? How is our prayer life? In Bible study, are you engaged in regular time of Bible reading and devotion and study? Is that a part of our life, part of our agenda? Is that some discipline that we need to add to our training program? In worship, are you praising the Father at regular times of worship? Sunday mornings, are you in service? Wednesday evening, are you there? Whenever there is an activity of worship service, are you there? You feel the importance of being there? It's part of the discipline. In service, are you using your gifts to serve God and His people? In evangelism, have you talked to someone recently about their relationship with God? In stewardship, are you investing regularly and consistently in God's church with your time, talents, and financial resources? The secret to winning the race, to truly be a Christ-like life, to live a Christ-like life, is to order our lives around those activities, disciplines, and practices that were modeled by Jesus Christ, in order to accomplish through training what we cannot do by trying, by just trying harder. So again, returning to the notion of running in a marathon in the next Olympics, you began working out. You quickly understand the need for intentional training. You see that you're going to have to discipline yourself. You're going to have to train intentionally. The Olympic Committee enlisted you to run, not a sprint, but a 26-mile endurance marathon. In a sprint, you just run a short distance as fast as you can go. Speed is of the utmost importance in a sprint, but in a long distance contest such as a marathon, endurance is the key. You want to make it to the end. And that's what we're on. And I've been told there are two critical points, times that exist in running a marathon. The first one is at the beginning. As you stand at the starting line and you feel so good, you just feel all energized, you're ready to go. And you feel like you could run the whole thing. That's no problem. Let's go. The temptation is to run too fast, too soon. Because energy is expended and nothing is left for the end of the race. And then the second critical time is at the halfway point, when you suddenly realize that you have to run again as far as what you already ran. You've only come halfway. And they think they sort of call that hitting the wall. You've come to the end of your stamina and you're not sure you can put one foot in front of the other anymore. That's another very critical point in a marathon. And races are not always won by the fastest, but rather by the one that keeps hanging on, who refuses to give up, because those that persist prevail. Keep on, keep on. H.D. Groberg, in his poem, The Race, describes a young boy who ran a race, falling several times, but still finishing. And I thought I'd like to read that. Hopefully that can bring us some encouragement in our own race that we're running on. He says, "Whenever I start to hang my head in front of failure's face, my downward fall is broken by the memory of a race. A children's race, young boys, young men, how I remember well. Excitement, sure, but also fear, it wasn't hard to tell. They all lined up so full of hope, each thought to win the race, or tie for first, or if not that, at least take second place. Their parents watched from off the side, each cheering for their son, and each boy hoped to show his folks that he would be the one. The whistle blew and off they flew like chariots of fire. To win, to be the hero there, was each young boy's desire. One boy in particular, whose dad was in the crowd, was running in the lead and thought, my dad will be so proud. But as he sped down the field and crossed the shallow dip, the little boy who thought he'd win lost his step and slipped. Trying to catch himself, his arms flew every place, and midst the laughter of the crowd, he fell flat on his face. As he fell, his hopes fell too. He couldn't win it now. Humiliated, he just wanted to disappear somehow. But as he fell, his dad stood up and showed his anxious face, much which to the boy so clearly said, get up and win that race. He quickly rose, no damage done, behind a bit, that's all, and ran with all his mind and might to make up for his fall. So anxious to restore himself, to catch up and to win, his mind went faster than his legs, he slipped and fell again. He wished that he had quit before with only one disgrace. I'm hopeless as a runner now. I shouldn't try to race. So through the laughing crowd he searched and found his father's face with a steady look that said again, get up and win that race. So he jumped up to try again, 10 yards behind the last. If I'm to gain those yards, he thought, I've got to run really fast. Exceeding everything he had, he regained 8, then 10. But trying hard to catch the lead, he slipped and fell again. Defeat, he lay there silently. A tear dropped from his eye. There's no sense in running anymore. 3 strikes, I'm out. Why try? I've lost, so what's the use, he thought. I'll live with my disgrace. But then he thought about his dad, who soon he'd have to face. Get up, an echo sounded low. You haven't lost at all, for all you have to do to win is rise each time you fall. Get up, the echo urged him on. Get up and take your place. You were not meant for failure here. Get up and win that race. So up he rose to run once more, refusing to refight. He resolved that he would win or lose, at least. So he rose up to run once more, refusing to forfeit. He resolved that win or lose, at least he wouldn't quit. So far behind the others now, the most he'd ever been, still he gave it all he had and ran like he could win. Three times he'd fallen, stumbling. Three times he rose again. Too far behind to hope to win, he still ran to the end. They cheered another boy who crossed the line and won first place. Head high and proud and happy, no falling, no disgrace. But when the fallen youngster crossed the line in last place, the crowd gave him a greater cheer for finishing the race. Even though he came in last, with head bowed low, unproud, you would have thought he'd won the race to listen to the crowd. And to his dad, he sadly said, "I didn't do so well." "To me, you won," his father said. "You rose each time you fell." And now, when things seem dark and bleak and difficult to face, the memory of that little boy helps me in my own race. For all of life is like that race, with ups and downs and all. And all you have to do to win is to rise each time you fall. And when depression and despair shout loudly in my face, another voice within me says, "Get up and win that race." Never give up. Likewise, the great need for the spiritual race is persistence. Time and time again, the scripture exhorts us to persist and endure. The Apostle Paul prayed for the Colossians. He says, "Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness." And Paul reminded Timothy, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him." And then the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 10, "For ye have need of patience, after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." There is a reward for those that persist, that endure on this race. In the spiritual race you are running, don't quit. Never give up. Keep going. If you have tripped and fallen, get up and continue on. Don't stay there. Maybe life has thrown you some curveballs. Maybe in your race you have been knocked off your feet a few times. You're thinking, since you're already on the ground, there's no point in trying to get back up. Rather than getting up, you're planning on just to hang it up. And that's a dangerous place to be in. The movie Chariots of Fire is a true story of Eric Lindell, a man who ran in the 1924 Olympic race in Scotland and went on to become a missionary later on in his life. And before his run in the Olympics, Eric Lindell ran in a meet between Scotland, England, and Ireland. Earlier that day, he had ran in the 100 and the 220-yard races and won both of them. And now he was running in the 440-yard race, and there was nobody that expected him to win three races in one day. In the 440, he got off to a bad start. When the gun sounded, I don't have the whole story. I read a lot of this, but there'd be a lot more detail to be put in here. But anyhow, when the gun sounded, there were a lot of shoving to get in front for the inside lane, which was the advantageous position to go around. Lindell tangled feet with J.J. Gillies of England and tumbled to the track. He just fell. He sat there dazed for a moment, not knowing whether he could get up or whatever. He was just dazed for a little bit. But then the race official was right there, and he shouted at him, and he said, "Get up and run. You're still in the race." So he jumped to his feet and took off after the pack, which was now a full 20 yards ahead of him. And of course, in the 440 is just a quarter mile run. And to be 20 yards behind at the beginning, that's a big distance to make up in a quarter mile run. But he jumped up and took off. In his unorthodox style of running, he ran a little bit different than a lot of people ran. I mean, I think he threw his head back and pushed his chest out, and he was pumping his fists the way he ran and stuff. And he was putting his all into it. It's a little bit more unorthodox way of running. He took off after the pack. He pulled into fourth place 10 yards behind the leader, JJ. JJ was leading the pack. And with 40 yards to go, he pulled into third place and then into second place. And then he won the race 2 yards ahead of the leader. At the end of the race, he just collapsed on the track in total exhaustion. Medical personnel actually had to come and help him off the track that day. He just gave all he had, everything. An article appearing the next day in the Scotsman newspaper said, "The circumstances in which Lindell won the race made it a performance bordering on the miraculous." Veterans whose memories take them back 35 years and in some cases longer in the history of athletics were unanimous in the opinion that Lindell's win in the quarter mile was the greatest track performance that they had ever seen. There's something noble and honorable about not quitting. He could have, when he fell, he could have just quit. But by getting up and running on and putting everything he had into it, he won that race. About getting back up and dusting yourself off and continuing to compete. Remember, it's not about finishing last or finishing first, but simply about finishing. And don't give up on God, because God did not give up on you. He never will. You can do this. You can finish the race, and you can bring home the gold. You can win this race that we are on. Each one of us are running this race. So as far as our Olympic committee, you know, if we were asked that or given that invitation, we would have to consider that proposal. And it all comes down to a couple questions. Will you engage in the training so that you will have the endurance to run that race? And would you get off of your couch or out of your lazy boy or whatever and run that race? The same is appropriate for our spiritual race that we are on. Are we willing to do everything that we can, our training program? Are we willing to engage in training so that we will have the endurance to run this race? We've been given everything that we need to run this race. God is right there to help us. Each time we fall, He'll help us back up again. And He'll say, "Get up and win this race." Last Sunday, our Sunday school lesson was being doers of the word and not hearers only. It's only the doers that will be able to win this race. And also, as the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, so run that you may obtain. I think that's the encouragement to each one of us, to run, to never quit. Keep running with the grace of God and continue training as we go through life. We're continually training. Our training should be continual. We should continually be training to be more and more like Him. Let us kneel to pray.